We're holding in Yerushalmi Kilayim, page Yud Beis. We'll do Ois Chafei, because I'm told that that was rushed through a bit. So the bottom of page Yud Beis. The previous pieces of Gemara were talking about the greatness of Rebbe, and the last one included about how great Rav Chiya was, that even though Rebbe was offended one time at something that Rav Chiya did, the Yohan Novi actually appeared as him and showing that he's a great Baal Madrega. So now the Gemara goes on to talk about more about Rebbe and Rav Chiya. Rebbe have a masnish shvachid, Rav Chiya ruba, kamei Rabbi Shmuel b'Rav Yosi. So Rebbe was telling over the greatness, the shvachim of Rav Chiya Ruba. Ruba means the great. So the equivalent of Rabba in the Bavli. So Rav Chiya the great, Kumei Rabbi Shmuel be Rabbi Yosi. He was telling this over to Rabbi Shmuel be Rabbi Yosi, who was one of Rebbe's chaverim. We find in a number of places in Shas that Rebbe had, as we're going to go on to say in Or Gemara as well, Rebbe had tremendous derech eretz for Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Shmuel be Rabbi Yosi was one of his chaverim. Anyway, Chad Zman Chomi, the goy body. So one time, Rabbi Shmuel saw Rav Chiya in the bathhouse. But he didn't show respect for him. Iskana literally means to be humbled. In other words, Rav Chiya should have stood up in respect for Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yosi, and he didn't. Eitz Yosef points out, now you have, the Gemara mentions in various places, that you have the bathhouses in those days consisted of three types of rooms. You have the outer room where people are still dressed, and then you have the inner one where people are getting undressed, and you have the innermost one where everybody is undressed. So in those places, fine, that's not a covetous place. You don't have to stand up for somebody, but the outer rooms over there where everybody's still dressed, yeah, you should have derech eretz and stand up for a Talmid Chacham like you would any place else. And yet Rav Chiya did not. So Rabbi Shmuel says to Rebbe, Ahanu Gaat Masni Shvachi, really, is this the one that you're saying so much greatness about him? He doesn't even stand up out of respect for Tam and Chacham. Omalei Ma'ovad, so Rebbe asks him, what do you do to you? Omalei, so he tells him, Chamsi Begoy Boni, I saw him in the bathhouse, Vole Iskanam and Koimei, and he didn't stand up in respect. Omalei, so Rebbe asked Rav Chiya, Loma Avad Tekein, why Taka did you do that? Omar, so Rav Chiya says, Yeil Olai, may there come upon me, which is the Lashon of Shvur that we've had a few times already in the Yerushalmi, the in Sochis lo yadayt, I didn't even know if I bathed over there. I went into the bathhouse, but as he's going to say, he was so far tifted in Torah, he doesn't even know if he actually ended up bathing over there. Let alone that I should realize that Rabbi Shmuel was there and stand up for him. By he shaita, because Rabbi Chiya says at that time, Ashkoris Einai b'chol sefer tilim agada, I was having my eyes, meaning his mind's eyes, thinking through all the agadas on sefer tilim. So he was so far tifted in that he didn't realize what's going on. So the Gemara says, Mina he shaita masala beis tamidim. Ever since then, after Rebbe heard that, he gave Rav Chiya two tamidim to accompany him wherever he goes. The halchanimah that they should always go with him, begin sakanta, because otherwise there's a potential danger. In particular, Eitz Yosef says you have, for example, there's the danger of at nighttime you have mazikim, who especially try to harass the Tzuruvim and Abbanon, the Talmid Chachamim. As we learned in Bavli Brachas, it can also be Hakosef points out, can also be because of Amei Oretz, and also because he might fall into a pit or something. So in other words, he was so like this. He was not going to realize what he's doing. He may end up in various kinds of dangers, and therefore Rebbe appointed two Talmidim to always be on top. Akosha points out the same way as we had before. For example, we had earlier in Brachas that Rosh Lakish was so far tifted in Torah that he would walk outside the tomb the same way. Rav Chiya was the same way. Continues the Gemara. Rav Yosi tsam tmanin yomin lemechme Rav Chiya ruba. Rav Yosi, and this is the Pashtus, a later Rav Yosi. This is not Rav Yosi, the father of Rav Shmuel, but Rav Yosi, because he was from an earlier generation than Rav Chiya. This would be a later Rav Yosi, one of the Amoroyim and the Yerushalmi. Anyway, he fasted 80 days, lemechme Rav Chiya Ruba, that he should have the schus to see Rav Chiya Ruba, that he should get to see him in Gan Eden. all of a sudden, Choma, in the end, he saw him, the rugs and yodev, kohu enoi, his hands trembled and his eyes became dim because it was such a fire of Kedusha surrounding where Rav Chiya is in Gan Eden, that therefore even Rav Yossi wasn't able, even after the 80 fasts, even after refining himself, he's not able to tolerate it. The Bavli in Bava Metzia mentioned something similar, that one of the Chachamim wanted to see Rav Chiya's carriage in Gan Eden, going up and down, and he looks where he's not supposed to, and things of fire come out and shoot into his eyes and blind him, and then the next day he has to go daven for Hashem to restore his eyesight, and even then afterwards there was a redness around his eyes from that. So similar idea. The ain't tema to have Rabbi Yossi Bar Nachas here. So you're going to think, okay, listen, Rabbi Yossi is not such a great person. Maybe he's a small person. So therefore, he's not worthy to see Rabbi Chiya. Maybe a greater tzaddik would have been able to. You should know. You should know that it once happened that a certain weaver came to Rabbi Yechanan. He says, Chomis Bechelma, I saw in a dream, Derakia Nafal, that the heavens were falling down, Bechadmi Tamidach Samachle, and one of your Tamidim was holding it up. So what did this dream mean? Amalei, so Rabbi Yechanan asked him, Bechakim Atle, would you recognize which of my Tamidim this was? Amalei Ein, Anochomile, Anochakimle. He says, yes, if I see him, I'll recognize him. So Rabbi Yochanan has all of his students walk in front of this weaver, and he recognized Rabbi Yossi. So we see that Rabbi Yossi was an Adam Gadol, that you could have somebody dreaming about him, that he's holding up the entire heavens, and yet even he is not great enough to be seeing Rabbi Chiya, and he's horned by that. Hakosef points out what's the significance of the fact that the guy was a weaver. And he explains, because we have, based on different other places, that weavers are very low down, degraded kind of job. So therefore, the point is that, but nevertheless, even though he had such a degrading job, nevertheless, you have a Mishnah in Adius that mentions a halacha, that true gaudium, a basic halacha in Hilchos Mikvos, that Shammai and Hillel argued on, and the other Chachamim disagreed with them because two weavers came and said the halacha differently, and the Chachamim accepted what they said. So even though they were weavers, they still spent as much as possible time in the Beis Medrash, and the Chachamim accepted their opinion and set it up as the halacha for all time. So the same point over here. Maybe this guy also was one of these people who, even though he's working hard for a living, he still stayed in the Beis Medrash as much as possible, and therefore he deserves to see in a dream this how great Rabbi Yossi is. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Rav Shimon ben Lakish, some Movan Sonim. Rav Shimon Lakish fasted 200 fasts, or a different Girsa, it says on the bottom, is Tlasme at Sonim, it's 300 fasts. Lamechme Rav Chiya Rubba, that he should get to see Rav Chiya HaGadol. And he still wasn't able to see him. All of a sudden, shot him at star. So eventually, Rav Shlokesh is just feeling very bad about it. What did he learn more? He was Osek and Torah more than me. And he was told, he spread Torah among the Jewish people more than you did. As you have the famous story in the Bavli and Bava Metzia, how he would go around from one town to another and teach the little cheder kids chumash and mishnayos. And not only that, he was goyla. He was going from place to place. A heavy goyla l'makom Torah. Omaloyin, so Rabbiya says to the Malachim or to the based in Shamaila, whoever he's talking with, Veloy Havena Goli. So wasn't I also goyla l'makom Torah? Omrulay, and they answered him, At have a Goli Milith. You went into Golos in order to learn Torah. So you went, yeah, you were Makayim, heavy Goli Lamakan Torah. You went from one place to another to learn by all the Chachamim. But we have a Goli Milfa. He went into Golos in order to teach others, as in that story where he's going around from one village to another and teaching all the Cheder kids Chumash and Mishnayos. So therefore, his chos is much greater than yours. Getting back now to the matter of the reason why all of this came into the Yerushalmi is because it was talking about that tachrichim can be made out of kilayim, so that led into a whole discussion about tachrichim of meisim and in turn about the passing of Rebbe and of other tzaddikim. So now getting back to that, Ksiv, the Pasuk says by Yaakov, and he says to Yosef, on Sasani and Mitzrayim with Bartani Bikurasim, you should carry me out of Mitzrayim and bury me in their burial place of Abraham and Yitzchak and Maris Machpelah. So the question is, Yaakov Kolhen Dehu Ma'umnati. So what? Wherever Yaakov is buried, he's not. Why? What's he going to be losing out? Menaki, like Menoshe Menakelo, like you subtract. Like what's going to be subtracted from him if he's buried wherever it is? Why does he have to be buried in Mitzrayim? Or Hakosef has another Gersa. Kolhen to have a Michas Magni. Wherever he's gonna lie, he'll lie there over there. What's the difference one place over another? Why is he so insistent that he has to be brought to Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbi Lozo Amadvorim Begave, Rabbi Hanina Amadvorim Begave, Rabbi Shogun Levi Amadvorim Begave. All three of them, these Amadvorim say there's a hidden matter involved. Begave, or Begave with a vase, or Begoim with a vav, means on the inside. So there's more here than meets the eye. So the Gemara is going to go on to explain because Tchias HaNesim. You have Rashi and the Pasuk over there brings three reasons. One that the Gemara is going to focus on over here because of Gilga Mechilas, and another one because of Machas Kinim, and another one so they don't make him an Avodah Zarah. But here the Gemara is going to focus on the first one about Tchias HaNesim. But first, Rav Shimon Lakish Omar, Rav Shlakish points out, you have a Pasuk that says, as Halich Mifnash Shem Ba'artas HaChayim. A Pasuk says, as David HaMelech says, I will walk before Hashem in the lands of the living. Now, what does the lands of the living mean? The Pasuk is he's asking to live in Eretz Yisrael. But, V'aloi ein Artas HaChayim, El Tzor V'chaber Yisrael, V'kesyun V'chaber Yisrael, what are the Artas HaChayim? What are the places where it's possible to live comfortably and to be able to be able to get plenty of food is places like Tzor and Kesarin, which are on the coast of Eretz Yisrael. Taman Zola, Taman Sova. There, food is cheap. And there, there's plenty. Unlike in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, which is not always on the Gashmiistic level, is not always Eretz Yisrael, because sometimes you have a hard time making ends meet in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And yet, David is not asking to live in Sura and Kesarin. He wants to live in the main parts of Eretz Yisrael. So why is he calling it Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara, by the way, makes a similar point, that Bavli and Yoma makes a similar point, that Eretz Yisrael refers to Mokum Shvakim. It refers to a place where there's marketplaces where you can easily buy food and other necessities. So here the Yerushalmi is giving examples of that. Anyway, so what does it mean? Sort of Shim and Lakish B'Shem Bar Kapara. The reason why Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz HaChaim, Eretz Shemei Seha Chaim Tchilo L'Moshe Mashiach, because it's a land where the dead of it will come alive first in Yemoshe Mashiach. So therefore, that is why it's called Eretz HaChaim. It may be hard to make a living over there, but on the other hand, Tchias HaMeisim, they'll be first in line. Well, my timer, what Pasuk expresses that? Nosim neshama lo amaleh. The Pasuk says that Hashem gives a neshama to the people on it. So what does that mean? Is there going to be Tchias HaMeisim only in Eretz Yisrael? Of course not. There's going to be Tchias HaMeisim in the rest of the world as well. But it means, afterward, the Pasuk continues, V'ruach lo'ochim ba, so then that refers to the rest of the world. So the question is, so what does that mean then? That the Chachamim, that all our Rebbeim who passed away in all the lands of Golos, they lose out? They're not going to have Tchias HaMeisim? Hashem is going to make holes in the ground, or a different girsa, Eitz Yosef brings instead of machlid, which is maloshen cholder, like a weasel or a mole or whatever, that makes tunnels in the ground. Instead, he says the girsa can be machlil, maloshen cholol. Hashem makes hollows in the ground, whatever. Behemis galglin kenoides. So, and they roll through those tunnels, like wineskins. A noid is a leather bag that they use for holding wine or other liquids. So it's like a bull. You give it a kick and then it goes rolling. So the same way they'll roll through the tunnels. The kivanchen magiyim la'otz Yisrael nafshen chozes aleihem. Then when their bodies come to Eretz Yisrael, then their neshama returns to them and then they come alive in Eretz Yisrael. Well, my timer, what Pasuk expresses that? Yechezkel says about Tchias HaMeisim, Hine ani paseach as kivrei seichem, behold, I will open up your graves, v'haleisi eschem kivrei seichem ami, I will bring you out of your graves, my people, v'heveisi eschem al admas Yisrael, I'll bring you to the land of Yisrael, v'achakach v'nasati b'chem ruchi b'chisim, and only then does he say, I will put my spirit, my breath into you, and you will live. So implying, in other words, that they have to first come to Eretz Yisrael. So that is why, that's the Dvorim Begave, that's one reason why Yaakov insisted on being buried in Eretz Yisrael, so he doesn't have to go through that. The Babri mentions the same thing at the end of Xuvus. Hakosev has a long explanation over here about the deeper significance about it, that of the fact that Chesa Mason begins first in Eretz Yisrael, because it means not just when a person is actually living in Eretz Yisrael, but also that a person feels that they're connected with Eretz Yisrael, al derech hamachto Eretz Yisrael, and then therefore so he says that's one reason to include this in Ein Yaakov, and also and then this way also it makes a person feel better even if he never saw Eretz Yisrael in his lifetime. Nevertheless, he should realize that he still has a connection with Eretz Yisrael. That was a famous thing. I think I've mentioned before that around the time of World War I, anybody who didn't have citizenship of Eretz Yisrael, anybody who didn't have Turkish citizenship, was liable to be deported from the country. So there was a Yid, asked this Chaim Sonnenfeld, who had been born in Chutzlaret, can he falsely claim on his papers that he was born in Eretz Yisrael to avoid that? And Rabbi Yisachayim told him yes, because Echad Aner Lagav, Echad Amitzapi L'Roisa, whether a Yid is born in Eretz Yisrael or whether he looks forward to there, either way, Ish V'Ish Yolad Bo, he's considered a born citizen of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you can validly write that on your papers, yes. The Gemara goes on. So we're saying, in other words, that the people in Eretz Yisrael are going to have Tchias HaMesim first. But Rab Berech Yishol L'Rab Chelboi, and in turn, Rab Chelboi Shol L'Rab Gimi, Rab Imi Shol L'Rab Elazar, Rab Elazar Shol L'Rab Chanina, the Ista Amin, and some say Rab Chanina Shol L'Rab Yisholam Levi. Some say there's another one in the chain that Rab Chanina himself had to ask for the Yisholam Levi. Anyway, the question was, you're telling me everybody in Eretz Yisrael is going to have Tchias HaMesim? I feel like when Yerovam and Nebat Machaberam, even Rishoyim like Yerovam and Nebat, they were buried in Eretz Yisrael. You're going to tell me that's enough of a schus that now they're going to have Tchias HaMesim as well? So the answer is Omalei. So he answered. You have the pasuk that describes after the Churban and after the Golus, Gofris v'Melach Sreifa Kol Arutza. The pasuk describes that Eretz Yisrael was all sulfur and salt. The whole land was burnt, but he didn't elaborate what that answer means. So Omer Abderachya, Mahen Shor Lahen, Behen Shor Lahen. So what exactly he asked them and what kind of answer did he receive from them? Lo shamin in minoklum. On the face of it, the answer doesn't seem to have to do with the question. What exactly are we deriving from the answer? So the Gemara says, my kedun. So what exactly is it? What exactly is it meant to teach us? And the answer is kiven shem nisrafa Eretz Yisrael nasa behen midas adin. What happened was when the soil of Eretz Yisrael was burnt, as described in these psukim, when it was all sulfur and salt, and became, as the pasuk goes on to say, like the way Sodom and Amora were destroyed, then nasa behen midas adin. Now those rishoyim, such as Yerovam and Nebat, suffered through that. Their bodies, their bones that are in the ground went through that, and therefore that was a kapara from them. So now they're able to have Tchias HaMesim because they went through that Gopus from Ella. So that's the answer, that even those Rishoyim, yes, they are eventually going to have Tchias HaMesim because of that Bizoim. And then Kosev and Eitz Yosef both mention that what about Rishoyim who were buried there after the Gophers from Elach, after that was over? And the answer is, okay, Hashem will so to speak shake them out of the earth, and they'll still have Tchias HaMesim as well. So how long did this last? Tony B'Shemer of Yehuda, Zion Shonim, Osis Eretz Yisrael Misrefes. For 7 years, the soil of Eretz Yisrael was burnt with the sulfur and salt. Ahu Dichtiv, thus the Pasuk says, V'hig v'bris l'rabim shavua echad. The Pasuk says, he will strengthen the bris, the covenant, for the many, for 1 week, meaning one period of 7 years. And what we do is, in the psukim over there, where it talks about Gofris v'melach and the Parashas Nitzavim, it says that was because they violated Bris Hashem l'kei avosa. So therefore, we learn from that for violation of the Bris, they had Shavua Echad, they had 1 week of the punishment, 1 week, meaning one Shemitah cycle of Gofris v'melach. So the question is, Kusim Shabbat Maha Yerosin. So at that time, though, the Kusim already lived in Eretz Yisrael because they had been brought in by Sancheirev 130 odd years before the Churban. So if you have sometime during Golas Babel, you had the 7 years of Gophers Ramelach, what did the Kusim do? They still lived in the country. The answer is, Oisin Matlius Vahoisin Misrepis. They were planting in patches here and there, and then it would get burnt. So in other words, so one explanation is, in other words, it wasn't like the entire Eretz Yisrael was covered with sulfur and salt all at the same time. Different places, different times. So therefore, so they'd have the ability, they could plant in a certain area while it was still fertile, then eventually that place would be destroyed, and then they'd move on to another area which by that time had recovered from the effects of the sulfur and salt and so forth. Eitz Yosef brings another explanation from the Aruch that they would plant their plots in Machlius, not only means small plots, really what it means is Machlonius in Halacha, as far as some of the Torah, for example, means pieces of cloth that are not even 3x3 etzbois. So they would plant like these little tiny plots that are not considered chashur, and then eventually they would get burnt, but meanwhile they managed to make do. Like within the sulfur and salt itself, they could find tiny little areas like that, a couple of inches square, and plant there and have enough to live on. Continuing on the topic of the Tira of Chachamim, Ula Nechusa, Ula who used to go down, so we find throughout Shas, we have Ula mentioned many times, he was one of the Chachamim who used to regularly travel back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. So he would be reporting in Bavel what they learned in Eretz Yisrael and vice versa. So therefore he's called Ula Nechusa. Anyway, Hava Idmich Tamon, he was going to sleep, meaning he was going to pass away, there, meaning in Bavel, Shori Bachi, started crying. Amrilei, so they asked him, Malach Bachi, what are you crying about? Anan Maskun Mach La'arid Yisrael, we will carry you up to Eretz Yisrael, so you'll still have the schus of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. What are you so worried about? Omaloin, so he answers them, Umahanyanli, fine, but how does that benefit me? Anom Moivid Magulisi, Goy Arama Savusa. I am losing my precious pearl, meaning my neshama, in a land that's not Torah. You can't compare a person who gives away his neshama in the bosom of his mother, which is Eretz Yisrael, the mother of the Jewish people, because of the Kedusha, to somebody who gives it up in the bosom of a stranger, which is Chutz La'aretz. So in other words, in terms of my neshama going right away to its place of Kedusha, in Chutz La'aretz, it's going to have a much longer way to go than from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he was crying about that.
Does it say something like Eretz Yisrael is
Easter, like
Gabi Bavel,
something like that? That's something else. That's as far as Yuchsin, that the Yuchsin in Bavel are purer. But in terms of the Kedusha, Eretz Yisrael, of course, has Kedusha. In fact, in the Bavli in Kesubis, you have something similar, that the Ula passed away there in Bavel, and one of the Chachamim, I think Rebbe Lazar, says on him that he quotes a Pasuk, Ala Doma Tmeya Tomus, what happened to you? You passed away, as the Pasuk says, on an unclean land. And they tell him, yeah, but they brought his order. And he says, yeah, fine, but it's still not the same thing when Eretz Yisrael accepts a person for burial after he passed away versus when he had the schus of living there. So yeah, same idea. The Gemara continues, Reb Meir have idmich lei b'usya. Reb Meir was passing away in Usya, which is Asia, as in Asia Minor. Nowadays it's Turkey. So he was there and he was going to pass away. Omar, so he says, Imurim lebnei Arab Yisrael, please go tell the people of Eretz Yisrael, Ho Mashiach Chon Dit Chon, here is your Mashiach. In other words, they should be aware. The mayor is the Mashiach of his generation. You know that every generation has its Mashiach. So yours is here in Usya. So please see to it that I'm brought to Eretz Yisrael for burial, rather than leaving me over here. Afilo Kain, Omaloin, and yet he tells them, that's not enough. Yahav Arsia, Choyf Yama, for the meanwhile, place my mita, my bier, my coffin on the sea coast, on the coast of the Mediterranean over there in Turkey. Dichtiv ki hu al yam yistadav al nahoris yichonenah. As the pasuk says, that Hashem founded it, meaning particularly Eretz Yisrael, on seas and set it up on rivers. So in other words, the same sea, the same Mediterranean, or not even the Mediterranean, more generally, all the seas, all the oceans and seas in the world are connected. So like this, when you bury me temporarily on the coast of Turkey, on the coast of Asia Minor, then that's the closest I can get to Eretz Yisrael right now, because that same body of water also touches Eretz Yisrael. I once came across something also closer to our times, in the times of one of the Rebbeim, with one of the great Chassidim, and I can't remember now who it was, who wanted to be buried particularly, it might have been the Hill of Haritra, I don't remember, who wanted particularly to be buried in Kherson, because at one point Kherson was ruled over by Turkey, and at that time they ruled over Eretz Yisrael also, within the Russian Empire, it was the closest you could get to Eretz Yisrael. So here it's a similar idea. Anyway. So now the Gemara mentions, by the way, when we say Yamim and Nahoris, what we mean is that actually, yeah, Eretz Yisrael has a bunch of Yamim and Nahoris surrounding it. Shiva Yamim Sovvenes Eretz Yisrael. There are seven but seven seas, meaning seven large bodies of water that surround Eretz Yisrael. Yamar Rabba, the big sea, which is the Mediterranean. Yamar Tveria, the one by Tveria, which is the Kinneret. Yamar Samchi, the Sea of Samchi, in later times they called it the Chula. Most of it is dried up now. They turned it into agricultural land, but they have a little bit of it left as a nature preserve. Yamar de Milcha, the Salt Sea, which is the Dead Sea. Yamar de Chilsa, the Sea of Chilsa, which is, it seems it means the one by Eilat, so it means, it seems that Chilsa and Eilat seems to be the same thing, so it would be the Red Sea. Yamar de Shil Yossi, that would be north of Lake Chula, right by the border of what's now Israel, what's now the border of Israel and Syria. Again, you have an even smaller lake over there that also is mostly dried up now, but back then it did existed, and it was called Yamar de Shil Yossi. And the last one is Yamar de Aspania. The last one is the sea by Aspania. Now Aspania usually means Spain, but in that case that would be the Mediterranean. It seems the printed Yerushalmi instead has the Girsa Apamia, which is a city in what's now Syria, and it had a lake by it. So that's also nowadays in Syria, but it's actually part of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So those are the seven. So we want to ask about Ika Yama de Chamin, or the printed Yerushalmi, has the Chametz. What about you have another body of water by the city of Chametz, or the city of that's nowadays called Homs in Syria. And the answer is that's not a natural body of water. Diclitianus, Hikva Nahores, Fasoi. Diclitianus was a Roman emperor in the late 3rd century. The Yerushalmi and the Midrashim mention him here and there. Anyway, he gathered together, he dammed up rivers and created that lake, but it didn't exist before that. It's an artificial lake rather than a natural one. Okay, speaking of the Yam of the Tveria, speaking of the Kinneret, Steve, you have a pasuk regarding about the Be'er Shel Miriam, after it described the travels of the Be'er Shel Miriam with the Jewish people. It says, Hanishkafa al pnei ha'yishimon. It overlooks the face of the Yishimon. The Yishimon is the area, the desolate area near the Dead Sea, which is the last or next to last place where the Jewish people camped before they crossed the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael proper. But what does that mean? That it overlooks the Yishimon. So Amar of Chia Baba, if anybody goes up to the mountain over there in the Yishimon, the Pashas meaning Har Nevoi or one of the other mountains in that area, if he looks over to the north, to Yam Tveria, to the Kinneret, and he sees over there something that looks like a sieve, something full of holes, Zuhi Berda Shel Miriam, then you should know that's the Be'er Shel Miriam. He's seeing that from a distance. It looks like that. It looks like a rock with a lot of holes in it that the water would come out of. Rabbi Yochanan Shaurun HaRabbanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said that the Chachamim also figured out, they estimated the direction that it's in. V'hohi mechavna kol kovel tara mitzia deknishta tikta desrungin. They found that it's exactly opposite the middle gate of the old shul of Srungin, which is the name of a place in the Galil or the Golan Heights or whatever. If you walk out of the door of that shul and then walk directly in the direction of the Kinneret, then you'll come to Be'er Shel Miriam. By the way, it mentions in Svarim also that every Motzei Shabbos, the Be'er Shel Miriam travels around from one place to another, and it may be in your local water supply. Therefore, there's a minhag to drink water on Motzei Shabbos, particularly the Gemara mentions elsewhere that hot water on Motzei Shabbos is a refuah, but even cold water, the point is, because you may end up that week you happen to have the Be'er Shel Miriam by you, and then that's a refuah for many different kinds of illnesses. Getting back to this point again about being buried, about passing away or being buried in Chutz La'aretz versus Eretz Yisrael, you have a pasuk in Yirmiyah. The pasuk describes how at one point we know that throughout his career as a Navi, Yirmiyah was constantly being harassed by people who didn't want him to say Nevuah. They were they got him arrested, they got him thrown into a pit, they tried to poison him, and then all kinds of different things. They tried to trump up false charges against him, all kinds of things. So at one point, there was this fellow Pashur, a prominent Kohen, who beat up Yirmiyah and threw him in jail. So now Yirmiyah says in Nevuah to him, "V'ata Pashur v'chol yoshvei beisecha, you Pashur and all the people who live in your household, telcho b'shevi, you're all going to go in captivity, u'bavel tova, you're going to come to Bavel, v'sham tomus v'sham tikaver, you will die there and you will be buried." So what? So what's the point? Why is Yirmiyahu focusing on mentioning both the death and the burial? Why are both of those important? Rab Abba bar Zamina, Amar Rab Chelboy, Rab Chama bar Chanina. So there's an argument between one Rab Abba bar Zamina in the name of Rab Chelboy versus Rab Chama bar Chanina. They argue what the significance of that phrasing is. Chad Amar Mes Sham Menikva Sham Yesh B'Yadishtayim. One of them says if a person dies there in Chutz Laaretz and he's buried over there, then he has both. In effect, it's as though he died twice. Mes Shom Menikva Kan. On the other hand, if he dies in Chutz Laaretz, but at least is buried in Eretz Yisrael, Yesh B'Yadei Achas. Then he has one death. Eitz Yosef has a whole explanation over here that when the neshama goes away in the body, you also have that there's a little bit of life left in the bones, but eventually that really only comes down properly in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laaretz, and therefore it ends up going away. So therefore, like, he ends up dying twice. So that's one opinion. The Chorina Omar, the other one between these two Amoraim, says, Kvora Shabakan, Chaperas Al Misa Shalhoim. When a person is buried here in Eretz Yisrael, that's Mechaper for the fact that he passed away in a different country. So even though it would have been better if he had passed away in Eretz Yisrael, but at least the fact that he's buried in Eretz Yisrael helps make up for that. So in other words, the point is that according to the first opinion, when he says Shom Tomus for Shom Tikover, means that both of them, it's going to be like a double death. The other one is saying that no, Shom Tikover, in other words, that had you been, and at least if you, Pashkur, had the schus to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, that would help make up for the misa in Chutz Laaretz, but you're not going to have that. Hakosev explains differently. He says that the vote is when a person is the best thing, well, sort of the opposite, that if a person passes away and is buried in Eretz Yisrael, he has both advantages, and the other one said no, the main thing is where a person is buried. As long as he's buried in Eretz Yisrael, even though he passed away outside it, he's still going to have the first Tchias HaMesim and not the Gilgal Mechilos and everything like we said before. Continues the Gemara. Rav Yoina b'shem Rav Chanina b'chanina Riglei debar nash aravke l'mikante. The feet of a person are his aravim. They're the guarantors to set him up, to bring him to wherever he's supposed to be, kohen to mitzvah, wherever he's going to be demanded that he's going to pass away. In other words, Hashem arranges, a person, Hashem decides that a person is going to pass away in a certain place, and Hashem arranges that the person's feet are going to be what lead him there. As you have the example, Ksiv, for example, you have the example with the war in Ramos Gilad that we talked about before, where Yehoshaphat was in great danger and was saved at the last second. So beforehand, when the Nabi Michoy, who was saying what he saw in Shemayim of how Hashem is judging Achav, he says, "Vayomer mi yifata es Achav." Hashem is asking who will mislead Achav, the Yal v'Yipol v'Ramos Gilad, that he should go up and he'll fall in battle in Ramos Gilad. So v'Yomus b'Sech Beisah loytamam. Now it's not saying that he'll die in his house. In other words, if it weren't for this point, why does Hashem have to engineer that Achav should be misled by the false Nevi'im to go all the way to Ramos Gilad only to get killed there? Hashem could just as easily have him die at home. The point is, it was decided min Hashemayim that he's going to die in Ramos Gilad, and therefore Hashem is saying who's going to mislead him into thinking that he's going to win the war, that he should go there. And the Yerushalmi goes on to give examples of that. The Bavli and Sukkah also gives an example, but in both places it's involving two Sofrim of Shlomo HaMelech, where the Malach HaMavis wants to get them, and Shlomo sends them away to someplace else to lose for safety, and then they end up dying over there because that was Min HaShemayim, that's where it was supposed to be. Finishing off on this topic of being buried in versus outside Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, Revi bar Kiria, Rabbi Eliezer, having with Tylan the Isterin, these two Amoraim, were one time walking in Isterin, the Pashas is the name of a place, Ro Aronis, Shoya Boyin, the Chutzla, Oretz, and they saw Aronis, they saw coffins of people who had passed away in Chutz Laaretz that were being brought into Eretz Yisrael. They found all over Eretz Yisrael. They found burial caves with inscriptions on them that show that there were Tzaddik Jews from all over the place. They found, for example, there's one in the north of Eretz Yisrael in a city called Beis Sha'arim. Rebbe was buried over there, and therefore it became a very popular place. And they found over there inscriptions that Jews came all the way from Yemen to bring their mason over there to be buried. Anyway, so, Omar Rebbe Bakuya L'Rav Eliezer. So Rebbe Bakuya criticizes them. He says to Rav Eliezer, Maha Ilu, what good are they doing by being brought to Eretz Yisrael when they didn't live in Eretz Yisrael? Ilu Aniko, Maha Ilu Elu, what are these people helping themselves, thinking that it's going to benefit them by being buried in Eretz Yisrael? Fakert, Aniko Ra'alem, V'nachlosi Samtim L'Se'eva B'Chayechem, V'Tavoyu V'Tatamu Asa'atzi B'Misafsem. I would apply to them a positive. Yumiya criticizes the people of his time. He says that, you came and you made my land tovei, and achlosi samtim l'seiva, and you made my inheritance of Eretz Yisrael a disgusting thing. So now he's saying the other way around, like this, you treated Eretz Yisrael as teiva. You couldn't be bothered moving to Eretz Yisrael. You decided it's too much of a bother to live in it. And now what's a boy Tami is out in Misaskim, and now you're coming and being matame in my land only when you die and being buried over here. It's not right. Omerle, but Rabbi Eliezer, really Rabbi Lazar, it's supposed to be. Rabbi Lazar tells him, no, Kivin Shein Magiyim La'Eretz Yisrael, actually it's not so bad. When they come to Eretz Yisrael, Hein Noitlin Gush Offer, then they take a chunk of dirt from Eretz Yisrael, Omanichan Alaroinim, and they place it on their own, Miskafrin, and that is a kapara for the fact that they didn't live in Eretz Yisrael in their lifetime. As the Pasuk says, his land will atone for his people. This is the source of the minhag that we have nowadays, that when possible, they take earth from Eretz Yisrael and sprinkle it on the Oren before burying it, is based on this Gemara. That way, at least you have a shtickle of Eretz Yisrael, even if the person is being buried in Chutz Laaretz. Masechta Shviyas Perek Shishi. So Masechta Shviyas, of course, talks about the dinim of Shmita. And at one point, it starts talking about the borders of Eretz Yisrael as far as Olam Mitzrayim and Olam Bavel. You have the areas that they conquered when they first came out of Mitzrayim. You have a smaller area that they resettled when they came from Bavel. So that leads into a discussion about how the Jewish people conquered and settled Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, "Amr of Shmuel bar Nachman, Shalosh Prastigios Shalach Yeshua LaEretz Yisrael Ad Shalay Konsul Aretz." Before the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua sent three letters, to the nations, to the kings of it. The first one said, "Mishu Roitzel Liponis Yipone." The first one was, "Anybody who wants to leave can leave, and you can leave safely, and we're not going to do anything to you." The second one said, "Lahashlim Yashlim." The second one said, whoever wants to make a peace treaty with us can do that. And you have to accept Shevin, but said, no, after servitude or whatever, but you can stay living here. And the third one was, Yas Lasas Melchama Yaseh, anybody who wants to fight against us, go ahead and fight. It's just points out, I mean, why you need three separate letters. So he says that maybe what it is not literally three letters, but there are three choices being given in there, and therefore it means that it's called three letters. Gilgoshi Pina Vet. Gilgoshi Pina, so the Gilgoshim left Eretz Yisrael, which is why in a number of places in Chumash, when it mentions the nations of Canaan, it leaves them out. Behem in Loilach Kodesh Baruch Hu, they believed in Hashem, Beholach Loilach Afriki, and they went off to Afriki, which for Pashas means Africa, and Hashem helped them, in fact, that they found a very fertile land over there, equal in quality to Eretz Yisrael. As in fact, we find much later when Rav Shetei, it's Sancheirib's name, is going and threatening the Jewish people and trying to urge them to make peace with him. And then when he takes them into Golis, he'll take them. He says, I'll take you to a land equal in quality to your own. Zuafriki, he meant this land of Africa, of North Africa, where the Gilgoshim had ended up. So Sancheirib was threatening to take the Jewish people into Golis there as well. It's interesting, by the way, there's a Byzantine historian from about 1500 years ago. He had, in one of his history books, where he's describing a battle that took place there in North Africa, he describes that he saw a monument over there that said that something along the lines of, we came here because of the robber Yoshua ben Nun who threw us out of our land, or something to that effect. So they had a tradition by them of, that Taka, this is why they left. Givonim Hishlimu, the Givonim made peace with the Jewish people. You have the whole story over there where they tricked them into thinking they were from a faraway place, and they made a covenant, and the Pasuk in fact says, Hishlimu, Yosh forgiven, that's Israel, that they made a treaty. Shlosh Ve'echad Malachim, Osim Mohammed, the 31 kings all chose to fight, Benaflu, and they were all killed. So, H. Joseph points out, by the way, and the truth is there is a good deal of discussion about this, that when we're saying that he sent all these letters before they went into Eretz Yisrael, does that mean once they came into Eretz Yisrael, it's too late to take on the idea of making peace, or would they even be able to do that after that? In fact, there are Mephoshim who explain that that was the whole thing with the Givonim. Why do they have to do this whole trick? Why don't they just come straight out to Yeshua and said, you know what, we want to make a peace treaty? One reason is because Yeshua might have told them, tough luck, it's too late. You wanted to do that. You should have done that a couple of months ago when I sent the letters. So therefore, they figured they had to do it by deviousness. But there's other explanations as well, one of them being that they figured they could get out of being subservient to the Jewish people, they could still keep their independence, and it didn't work out for them. Anyway, one of the borders that it mentions over there in Shavius about the borders of Eretz Yisrael, or part of the original borders of Eretz Yisrael, is called Ammona, or Ammonum, or whatever. It's a mountain in the north of Eretz Yisrael, and it's nowadays Lebanon or Syria or even Turkey. Some say it's actually fairly close to the area where that earthquake just was in Turkey. Anyway, Amr of Yusti of Ashunim, Lachshiagiu Agolius, Lature Ammona, when the Jews have gone into Golus, when they come back in Mashiach's times, and they come to Ture Ammona, to this mountain range in the north of Eretz Yisrael, where now they're on the border of Eretz Yisrael, Asidus, Hein Asidus, Loima Shira, then in the future they will be singing Shira to Hashem to thank Hashem for taking them out of Golus and bringing them back to Eretz Yisrael. My time, or what Pasuk expresses that, the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Toshuri Beirosh Ammona. Now, the word Toshuri can mean to see, and it can, on the other hand, the Gemara here is Darshaning it, Meloshin Shira, singing, and Beirosh Ammona, it can mean Meloshin Ammona, that they have Ammona in Hashem. Rashi explains it along those lines in the Pasuk. But here, the Gemara is explaining, the Ture Ammona, it means when you come to the mountain Beirosh Ammona, from the top of Ammona, when you reach the top of that mountain, and you're now entering Eretz Yisrael, then you're going to be singing in gratitude to Hashem, who took you out of Golus. Should be the Yad Mamash. Yemim Mashiach Ugo'ola, let's see, while they have here other Aleph and other Beis, I don't think like with Hayemim we'll do both of them, so I think we'll stick with one. So Beis, other Beis, we're right now, Mamish before the Gola, therefore every year he has to get used to Gola and put himself into a state and into a feeling of Gola. And that means by turning his private day into a day of private Gola and making his personal place into Eretz Yisrael. And now, by that, a person accomplishes by doing his avodah right now and in this place with the ultimate shlemus in machshava dibra maisa. Continuing on halachas of kedima in brachas, so we said that so we talked about the shivas aminim versus not, the whole versus cut, chaviv versus not, etc. If you have something in front of you, so also only if the fruit is ripe, only then does shivas aminim have an advantage, otherwise not. And also if you're not eating it in the normal way. If you have something that's ha'etz or ha'adamah, and something else that's shakol, you want to eat from both of them, then ha'etz or ha'adamah comes first because they're more choshu, because they're more specific brachas. Shakol is very generic. Even if the one that's shakol is more chaviv, you still have to put ha'etz or ha'adamah first. And one more halacha, mezonos comes before the bracha on wine, and hamotzi certainly comes before the bracha on wine. That is why, and that's one reason why on Shabbos and Yom Tov we have to cover the chalas, because otherwise, so to speak, the chalas are embarrassed that we're putting them second, where usually by alpi halacha, really they ought to have been first. And the same thing, Shabbos day, if you're making kiddush and eating mezonos, then the mezonos have to be covered during kiddush for the same reason. Kanana ben Akasha, Matsar, Kodesh, Bokhul, Zakas, Zerl, Bishop, Mamjah, Mitzvah,